Sisters and brothers, grace and peace to you today from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who is here to comfort us and to create faith in us. It's a familiar scene that Ron has read for us this morning. It's perhaps too familiar for some of us. Most all of us have been in that place in a cemetery somewhere. Family and friends of a dead man are gathered together. A slight breeze stirs the warm summer air. Mourners talk with one another quietly in small groups. Tears stream freely down the faces of family members and close friends. In our gospel scene, all are wondering why this family friend, why this teacher, this healer has gathered them back together again at the place where Lazarus was buried, at his grave. He might have done some good if he had only been there 4 days earlier. Jesus might have stopped what happened. But now it's been 4 days since death has snatched Lazarus from them, and there is no changing this. It is in this unlikely setting that Jesus tells Mary and Martha that they will see the glory of God right here in this place. How can this be, they wonder? There's nothing here but sadness and sorrow and a stinking tomb. How is it that anyone can see the glory of God when death has won again? Before we jump to the end of the story, the rest of the story, let's pause to witness how hard it was for those who were gathered in that cemetery at that place, how hard it was for them to be thrust into the valley of the shadows. Even when Jesus knew, even when the Son of God knew, that as he says earlier in John 11, that Lazarus's illness will be for the glory of God, even when that was true, Jesus is still deeply troubled. He is greatly disturbed by his friends dying. The word actually means Jesus is indignant. He's even angry at the suffering that death is causing. And we see him weep in the presence of so much grief. And so if Jesus weeps at the graveside of a friend, it puzzles me. It puzzles me when we try to minimize the sting of death or try to ignore it, or try to escape it, or toss some religious jargon back and forth as a way of pretending that it's not painful. There's just no way around the grief that's caused by death. And the fact that death tears at the hearts and souls of us is an indicator, I think, that death is not God's plan for us. It's an interruption, an unwelcome intrusion. And it's why Jesus was so angry and so terribly sad that his friends have to suffer. C.S. Lewis was one of the most famous Christians of the 20th century, one of the greatest teachers of the church in the last 100 years or so. His writings continue to inspire and guide millions of people. C.S. Lewis married late in life, and only after a few years of marriage, his wife, Joy Davidman, was taken from him. She died a premature and painful death, and he writes about his grief in this little book called A Grief Observed. Lewis never stopped believing in God, never stopped hoping in the Easter promise of the resurrection of the dead. But he also admitted that there were times when his faith did not offer much comfort. He described his grief as being like storm clouds emptying cold rain on a foggy land, and one storm would be followed by another, and then another, and then another. And you want to get over it, you want to get out of it, but just when one storm passes, another appears. Eventually, Lewis says, eventually my grief lessened, eventually the fog slowly lifted. But he said that no matter how strong his faith, he would always carry the scars of his wife's death and her separation from him. Jesus saw the suffering. He felt the great storm caused by death, and he wept. And then he came after it. And then he went right for it. He marched to Lazarus' grave to take on death. A large stone blocked Jesus' way into the tomb. "Move it," he orders. "Move it now." The mourners became worried for Jesus. They wondered if he had maybe become so overcome by grief he didn't realize the situation at hand. "Jesus, don't you know that the body's been in the tomb for 4 days? There's a great stench. Do you really want us to take away the stone? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Jesus says. And a few step forward then to move the stone. And Jesus prayed and then ordered, "Lazarus, come out." And the cemetery crowd watched the impossible happen. The dead man emerged, still wrapped in the cloth that they had wrapped him in, dressed him in only days before. And the collective gasps and screams and shouts could be heard a mile away. And then more quietly, the Savior, stronger than death, said to those gathered, unbind him and let him go. Unbind him. And this is the climactic sign in John's gospel. We've seen several other signs, but this is the climax right here. The sign points to a greater reality than the one we live in, the one we trust in, the one that we assume is fixed and never changing. Jesus is the one in whom death and resurrection become real, become our reality. We witness in the rolling away of the stone and the raising of Lazarus this initial fulfillment of Jesus' promise, which we read in John 5, that when all, someday, the day will come when all who are in their graves will hear his voice, as Lazarus did, and come out. Lazarus is the first. But please hear this. There is more going on here than simply the resuscitation of a man who died. Jesus breaks into our present to transform it before we even get to the grave. Professor Brian Peterson points out that Jesus comes to call us to life on both sides of the grave, both before we get there and after we've died. The risen Christ will call us with the rest of the saints out of our graves one day. That is the hope we celebrate on All Saints Sunday. But Christ is also present with us now in the power of the Holy Spirit to unbind us, to loose us from whatever grave clothes we are carrying around with us. Perhaps you can barely breathe this morning, because you are wrapped tightly in the grave clothes of guilt over something you have done or something you have left undone, and you can't see any way out of it. Unbind him, unbind her, Jesus says. Or maybe it's shame that feels like death. Or maybe you're struggling with the vice-like grip of an addiction that's proven so much stronger than any willpower that you're able to muster. Or the big problems of our time feel like this dark cocoon that's enveloping you, closing over you, taking away your breath, your life, your hope. Jesus the Christ comes to you today to call you by name, to call you out of this living grave, out of both sides of the grave. And there is no death. There is no guilt. There is no shame. There is no addiction. There is no despair that is too deep or too dark for Jesus to reach. Katie and Amanda were best friends. They met in middle school. And they were inseparable in high school for all 4 years. They were so close that they decided they wanted to go to the same school after high school together. So after graduation, they both enrolled at the same university. They decided to become roommates. And then on fall break, as they were driving home, Katie was driving. They were in a car accident. Katie was driving, but Andrea died. Katie's outer wounds required some attention, but they were nothing compared to her inner wounds. Wounds of guilt, wounds of shame, wounds of grief. And she was quite sure that Andrea's parents would never want to see her again. She was going to stay away from the funeral, but she decided to come in late and sit towards the back. And even though it was late, Andrea's father was there, expecting her, hoping she would come. She said, "Katie, we love you. And we're so grateful that you and Andrea were such close friends for all these years. And we are so confident. We are confident in our faith that when the day comes at the end of your life, and we hope it's a very long time from now, that Andrea will be the first in line to welcome you with open arms and to say, 'Katie, I love you. Welcome home.'" Unbind her. Unbind him. And let him go. Today, Jesus calls the saints among us as he called the saints before us. She is free now. He is alive again. Unbind them and let them go. See, I am making all things new. Amen.